Because you know the thing is, it's hard to move forward when you keep looking in the past. It's not about whether I look good. It's hard to move forward when you keep looking in the past. Isn't that right? And that's the thing. Because you know, that's what I'm going to share on a little bit tonight. That it's hard to move forward if you keep looking in the past. And you know, the amazing thing is that in Philippians 3:13, Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." He says, "The one thing I do," he goes, I put it behind me and I press forward. And what's amazing is that Paul planted churches, he preached the gospel, he preached to kings, he moved in authority, he wrote like 60% of the New Testament, but he says, "One thing I do, I forget the past to press forward." Father, we thank you for tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence, Lord, and just glean from the word that you have for us. And we just thank you that we can bring you glory and honor in all that we do, in Jesus' name. Now, you know, I was going to mention about my mother-in-law, what Pastor Ken did, and I appreciate that because my wife's in with children, so I have to be careful now if I use her for any of my stories, because not only do I have my mother-in-law, I have my daughter with me as well. So Mandy's used to this, but now her daughter's here, and so I'd get in a lot of trouble if I have stories, you know, and I always tease about my wife in different stories out of love. So, but it's amazing that, you know, I love it when family comes, but I do have one thing I'm going to share, and I did ask my wife's permission about this, so it's okay. So, because, you know, Miss Anita said one time, I don't know if she said it in the Bible class as well, but always don't be afraid to use your stories, because what you've gone through is a test, amen? What you've gone through, and when you've gone, it might be a test while you're going through it, but when you carry on, it becomes a testimony. Now, don't tell my wife, I wasn't going to say nothing about my tooth, but it's whistling, and I can hear it. She goes, but don't bring it about, don't mention nothing about it, but it's missing, and she didn't knock it out. It's just something happened, and it's going to be another month and a half before I can get something to fill in there. So, but if you see her, don't say nothing, just, because she said, just don't bring it, don't mention it. But anyway, amen. So, what I like the fact is that Paul says he's striving, he wants to attain the high prize. It was one thing we all want to do as believers is we want to attain the prize that Jesus has for us. We want to get to the best ability, the best thing that God has for each and every one of us. And we have a hard time going this way when we keep looking back. You know, it's out throughout the scripture. It's actually mentioned because Paul mentions it in the Church of Corinthians. Even when he's talking about the Lord's Supper, he says, some of you are partaking unworthily. Not meaning that they weren't worth it, but meaning that they had a mindset that they weren't worth it. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. You know, even God said, I've removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. He goes, I remember it. And you know, if one of the biggest things the enemy has is that he will try and bring condemnation on us. Amen. You know, the Bible says that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Thank you, Pastor Ken. He goes, there's no condemnation. Because it's very easy to have condemnation. The Holy Spirit will bring conviction, but he'll never condemn. But you know, that's one of the biggest tactics the enemy does. How many times have you been going to do something and you think, I can't do that. You try something, I can't do that. So you don't try it again. I think it's Casey Treat that says, sometimes you can fear failure so much that you become afraid to try something new. You know, and even for myself, and I'll share a little bit as we go through this, of things even in my own life. I'm not perfect. I know sometimes my wife thinks I am, but I'm not perfect, you know. I like to come across that I am sometimes, because I am. I'm very confident in some things when it comes to the word. I'm very, very confident. Does not mean I'm perfect as in spotless. I like to think that I'm mature when it comes to the things of God, but we're not perfect. None of us are 100% yet. We always attain to something, amen? So One of the things that he talks about is that one of our areas of thinking can keep us from becoming what God wants us to be is compromise and rationalization. We feel good about ourselves when we do something good. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can get to the point where I know I'm better at doing something than Pastor Ken is. So what happens is I stop striving in that area. I know I'm better than that guy over there for whatever it is. So we start to rationalize. Well, I don't have that kind of problem. You know, sometimes people, I know when Brother Mark comes and he's an evangelist, so he's talking, and sometimes, you know, the Spirit of God will move, and people start feeling convicted, and you can sit there, and I don't do this now, but I've done it. I've been saved probably 30 years now. Sit back. I'm glad I don't drink like that. And you can rationalize, and that's still looking at the past, because that means you stop having a victory in an area because you get to the point where you think you're better than someone else. I'm never to compare myself to anybody else. I only compare myself to where God has called me from. Amen? And called me to a place where he's going to be, or where I'm going to be, where he's taking me to. Rationalizing and comparison is not good. Even, I know Pastor quotes all the time about the scripture, I think it's in Corinthians, where it says, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, which means you can think of yourself. When you do something good, you say, yeah, I did that. I graduated Bible school. That's okay. But don't get to the point that I did this, and you start to become very proud. There's a line that you can easily cross, and you start thinking about yourself as better than other people or better than doing something else. And, you know, I wasn't expecting these guys to be here tonight, but, and I've said to Kathy in the past, I've tried to come along, and I said to Robbie, I want to help you come along and help with these guys and help, you know, Pastor Corey with them and stuff like that. But, you know, at one time, if you would have asked me, I want you to go and minister to somebody who's come out of that situation because of a way I grew up, forget it. To be honest with you, forget it. I grew up in a household where my mother was a drunk. And I was like, I did not like it. I always thought, how can people get to that? I know now it can become a learned behavior. I know now the enemy can put thoughts in people's minds. But I used to think, man, I don't like talking to guys like that. But now, you know what? I come in and I see victory there. I come in and I see these guys that they did. You know, I've had some of these guys that they graduated and call me. And I'm there and there's love on them because I'm changed. Because I have to put the past behind me and realize that I'm not that guy anymore. That I can move out and walk in love like the Bible says, amen? That we can walk in love and minister to people. We can walk in love and minister to people that are hurting. We can minister to people when we've come out of victory. When we've come out of a test and we become victorious, that we can minister, amen? You know, Miles Monroe says, it's not what happens to us that matters, but what we do with what happens. Much of the time, we are not responsible for our circumstances, but we are always responsible for our response to those circumstances. Always. You can't help what happens around you, but all you can do is have the right attitude about what happens. You know, with me, I was sitting back there doing the thing on Father's Day for the Bible, you know, the Bible app and stuff like that. And Pastor Ken got up and shared. Pastor Steve got up and shared. And I thought, boy, pardon me for a second thought, I'm glad I didn't get up and share. I didn't have a dad growing up. None. I've shared that before. It's like, you know, like with my wife, she's got two Tim Hortons coffee cups. I like this example. Her dad passed away. So she got one empty Tim Hortons coffee cup, and she has one full Tim Hortons coffee cup. I have one Tim Hortons coffee cup. I don't know what this is ever like to have one full, half empty, empty. Never, have no idea. None whatsoever. So I used to think, no big deal, you know. Then when my mom passed away, we were going through some of her stuff, found my birth certificate. I said to Kathy, he did know about me. He knew about me. And didn't care. That can hurt, even when you're an adult and you're all grown up. So I'm at work and I'm praying about it. And I'm like, Lord, how am I going to deal with this myself? Because it comes a circumstance. And he said, I need you to forgive him. I thought, what? The Lord said, I need you to forgive him. I said, how can I forgive somebody I've never met? And he said to me, the same way you hate him who you've never met. I'm like, whoa, and it released something in me. Because now I had good male influences in my life, but I've had no dad. So now as a believer, I got saved, my boy was 2. So now I'm okay. I want to be a good Christian father. How do I do this? Go back to the Word. Amen? It's like for me, it was a blank slate. One of the greatest revelations I ever had was when Paul talks about we cry, Abba, Daddy. It's one of the most profound statements in Greek about a closeness with being Daddy. He goes, I cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. I had a revelation that I'm not an orphan. Amen? I'm not fatherless. That he becomes a father to the fatherless. So, you know, you learn from who, not staying in the past. Because I could have let that have an attitude. And I still have to be careful. Sometimes I can have attitude about things grow up. About my growing up. Because my wife will still say to me, off your shoulder. Get a chip on your shoulder. Because, you know, we're married and she's allowed to say stuff to me. You know, and I'm like, something will happen. And I'll go, oh. She's like, off your shoulder. Get a chip on your shoulder. And I'm like, yeah, you got to watch the attitude. Because it's not the circumstance. But I got to make sure I don't allow those circumstances to hinder my movement. Amen? You know, it says, Romans 5:11, that we now have reconciliation or atonement. The word atonement there is kalage. It means to change mutually. You know, atonement in the Old Testament, we used to think, well, in the Old Testament, atonement, or this one here in NIV is reconciliation. That we are reconciled to him. This is not the same as an Old Testament atonement. Old Testament atonement was that the high priest, the blood that you had of the animals, covered. That's why every year they had to go back. Every year they had to go back. Every year they had to go back. This word, reconciliation or atonement, means to mutually exchange, change mutually. There is no cover, no to cover. It's to exchange mutually. That's when Jesus says, I will give you my righteousness for your sin. I will give you my healing for your sickness and disease. I will give you my prosperity for your poverty. It's an exchange. What that means is that old man is dead. When you come to him, it's dead. I remember being at work, and when I worked at the car plant, I wasn't saved, didn't go to church, had no desire, nothing. Anybody told me I'd be here on a Wednesday every week, I would have told them they're nuts. I grew up in a home. I grew up in a Christian home. Like my mom sent me to church, Sunday school. How many people went to church growing up? How many people went to church and really want to growing up? Right? But you know what? Those are seeds planted in your life. So anyway, I remember there, and so I'm talking about different things and different aspects, and I was a different person than I am now. And then also, I went to a different part of the plant for about a few years, got saved, my life gets changed, I start following what the Word says, I start following the Lord. All of a sudden, I got back. A few years later, I'm back to the same area. So now I'm working with these guys that knew me like 5 years beforehand. And then there's one guy I'm working with, and he went to my church. He actually is my best friend's brother-in-law. I was like, oh, Ray, how you doing? So we're talking. So all of a sudden, one of the guys I used to hang around with in the old life, he comes by. Hey, did you tell Ray about blah, 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 blah? And he goes off in some story. I'm like, oh, did you tell Ray about when he did this? And I'm like, I started getting so embarrassed because I'm like, this is like, that is not me. You know, so he walked away. I was feeling like really like low. I'm thinking, holy smokes. Ray looks at me and he says, aren't you glad that old man's dead? I was like, oh, thank you, Lord, that I could put the past behind me and press on towards the high calling that God has for me. You know, like I said, I'll share stories. I asked my wife, and this is the one I can share. As some of you guys know, when we were dating 5 years or more, I asked, after we met at a church picnic or something, out having a smoke. So we met. Hey, she's cute, you know. So I asked her out, not as a date, actually. I just went out because I was going through some stuff, going through, like, separation and everything. And I just started going to church. So I still had a mentality of the world. So anyway, so we're going out. So we went out for coffee a couple times. And after a while, actually, it was a very short time, I asked her to marry me. yes. And then she broke up with me. You know, then a little while later, we'd go out for a coffee just to be friends and start kind of falling for each other again. So I'm like, you marry me? Yes. I'll tell her I did that. Yes. Then she wouldn't talk to me again. Remember? Yeah, you know. So it was like a few months later, we'd go out for coffee, we'd start falling for each other again. You marry me? Yes. Then she'd break up with me again. I was like, okay. One New Year's Eve, we're going out. We're having a sing at the church. They've had a gym upstairs. She said to me, she goes, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Blah, 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 blah. That's all this. Not even be friends. I'm like, okay, at least now I know where the line is, not friends. So it was funny because then this girl there said, can you meet me with my roller skates? I'm like, sure. I didn't think nothing of it. Sure. She comes down, right? Because she's still very protective because she cared for me, you know? And I'm like, what are you doing? You don't have no right. You don't even want to date me. So, like, you know, 2 days later, I get a phone call. You want to go for breakfast? This woman's nuts. So, anyway, so I said to her, I said, sure. So then she asked me to marry her. And I'm like, okay. What it was that the Lord actually spoke to her and dealt with her with a couple of things because she came out of a relationship, a very abusive relationship. So she was very scared to go into the next one because of what happened in the past. She could have hung on to that, and she'd still be single today if she would have hung on to that. But instead, she grabbed hold of the high prize, which is me, in Christ Jesus for what God had for her that time. You know, but it took a lot because of what he came out. And that, you know, it's kind of funny now, but it was very serious. And that is something that people go through. That's a very real thing that she went through, that she either could have stayed in the past or she could have moved in. And I'm so glad because he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Amen? And I get favored with God because of her. Because she has changed. She has helped change me into a better man. But she could have stuck there. I could have stuck there. But, you know, so we got married. We're going on 21 years this year. No, 21 years last year. We got messed up. Well, I don't know how we got messed up. How many, not the date, but how many years. We were talking with Pastor Ken and Miss Cindy. We were saying, like, next year we both hit 20 years married, and, you know, we can maybe do something exciting, like celebrate, you know, going to cruise, something. And then it was like a week later, Kathy says to me, she goes, we've been married 21 years. I'm like, what? She goes, it'll be like 22 years this year. She goes, I was looking at the date. I'm like, we missed our 20th? Like, we didn't miss the anniversary, but we missed the big 2-0. She's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, baby, it's just like we got married yesterday, eh? But anyway. I was going to say now, but it's the fact that our first year, like I said, I love being married. I enjoyed being married. I still love being married. Our first year was hell. It was. We got married. We're all excited. I'd known her for like probably 3 or 4 years on and off. We got married. It was like 2 days later. I'm phoning my pastor at 11 o'clock at night. I made a mistake. Get me out of this. Because I kept looking at the past. Because something would happen, my wife is standing here, something would happen, and I was doing this. That's the same one thing happened last time. Right? I'd come home from work, and she'd say, I want to talk to you. Oh, what happened last time? Well, last time I got to end up with a divorce. What happened last time? Right? We were moving into something else, you know, and she'd say, or I'd say something, or I'd do something. What happened last time? I'm so glad. I'll have to get the vacuum out. It's good thing I'm not superstitious. I'll have to get the vacuum out. It's okay. Dollar store. My wife picked it up from the dollar store for me today. It's a good thing I didn't bring her big one, eh? I asked her if I could bring her big makeup mirror. And she's like, no. I said, I'm not going to lose it. So anyway. So it's the fact that but we had to renew our mind as individuals and together. I had to get into what the word says about having, what does a good wife, what does a good husband do? What does a wife, you know that scripture that says, wives, submit to your husbands? That's not our scripture, husbands. I've never used that on my wife. My scripture is, husband, love your wives, right? I've never said to my wife, you got to do this. You got to submit. That's not, Paul was writing. Husbands, love your wives. Then he turned to the wives. Wives, submit your husbands. That's not my scripture to use. That's hers. I might help her a little bit with it. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, if you hang around a little bit, you'll find out there's some strong women in my family. So the amazing thing is that we had to, even as a married couple, we had to grow together and stop looking at the past. Because she used to do the same thing. Something would happen, and she'd like, even after we got married, and even after the Lord spoke to her, marry him, you know. I remember one time, and it used to bug me. She had something on her face, and I just went like this to wipe it off. She flinched. It made me so mad when she flinched. I was like, I'm not him. It made me so upset. Now, I'll do something, and she's like, go ahead, you know. But it took a while. And it's amazing that some things can affect us that we don't realize that because of what affects us, it will stop us because we think we are who we are. We got to realize that we are what the Bible says we are. We are not grasshoppers in our own sight. We are kings and queens, victorious priests in the kingdom of God. We got to realize that we are not those that crawl around. We got to realize that we stand strong, amen? That we got to realize that we are not ever praying for victory. We are always praying from victory. We already are victorious. We don't pray fire down for the Spirit. We pray this power comes from within us because the Spirit's already been poured out, amen? We got to realize that we are who the Bible says we are. The biggest way the enemy is going to hinder us is to keep us in condemnation. There is now no condemnation, Romans says, to those that are in Christ. When you do something wrong, even with me, Lord, I repent. Okay. Sometimes, you know, I remember thinking, okay, do I have this too easy? Do I have this too easy, Lord? I repented. And then some things, like, do I have no conscience? Does some things don't think of it? And the Lord's like, no, it's because you've learned. You know what one of the things that really spoke to me was when the Bible school students were speaking, how many of them, not just this year, but last year, and when Kathy graduated, how many people, do you remember what class touched most of them? Was learning their righteousness, who they are in Him. Most times we won't receive what God has for us because we believe that Jesus said, when the guy, the blind thing with the blind man, said, will you heal me? He says, I'm willing. But how many of us are saying, are you willing to heal me? I know He heals, but are you willing to heal me? I know that He wants to be prosperous, but Lord, are you willing to prosper me? We got to make it personal and realize that He's willing to pour out His Spirit upon you. He's willing to heal you. He's willing to make you victorious because you already are. He's willing to make you the righteousness of God because you already are. He's willing to give you everything that you need. It's already within us. Our problem is we keep thinking we're not good enough. We got to realize that we are kings and priests. How many, Jesus says, if a child asks for bread, would you give him a scorpion? And it seems like, weird, that's what He said to the disciples. No, He said, why do you think God will be like that to you? Talking about the Spirit says, oh, I can't pray in tongues, that's not for me. Well, just renew your mind, get into what the Word says. Doesn't mean you have to, but get into what the Word says. If you don't want to walk in healing because you don't think you're good enough, we've got to get to what the Word says, amen? Got to receive what's already ours. The Bible doesn't say to pray for healing. It says to receive it because it's already ours. That is one of the greatest mindsets we got to realize is this is already ours. You know, self-condemnation affects us. It's one of the favorite tools of the enemy. It's to the place where we get so condemned and think of ourselves so unworthy. I know we've been singing some old hymns once in a while. I like them, but Pastor will never let Lisa pick out the hymns that are like, I'm unworthy, you know. It's all good. It's who we are. You know, I've had people say, I'm just an ex-sinner saved by grace. No, I'm not. I'm a saint. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You're not an ex-sinner. You're a saint. To the saints who are in Rome. He's talking to the church, the body of believers in Rome, to the saints. Say it. I'm a saint. Saint Jerry, how are you today? That's good. I'm a saint. Oh, that's what it says. We're already seated at the right hand of God. Amen? You know, One of the things that we got to realize is that we have to renew our mind. We have, let's see, Romans 12 for a second here. I think it's Romans 12, I didn't write it down. Yes, Romans 12, start verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed. Conformed to this world means that it's like you're a convict, that you're confined, that you got your mind is trapped in your old way of thinking. He said, but you got to be transformed, or trans, like a transport truck. You got to move from being where you think you are to be transformed or transported to where God says you are. Amen? We got to renew our mind so that we go from who we think we are to we know who God says we are. That is starting to find the what is prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, you know, by the renewing of our mind. You know, there's a term, anybody ever heard the term paradigm? You do a paradigm shift. Paradigm is a thought process. It's like a parenthesis, like the, you know, parenthesis. And so, and one of the examples I heard, which I think is great, is in 1965 or something like that, there was a watch convention. There was all these watches, and this year, I think Switzerland had like 90% of the watch market. One in the 60s. They were, everybody said, Swiss watch is the best. Mechanical movements, jewel, precise, beautiful watches. 90% of the watch market came out of Swiss, was done by the Swiss. So there's this jewelry, this watch fair. There's this digital quartz watch sitting there, invented by a Swiss. He had a paradigm in the sense that he figured nobody would ever want a watch with no movement, so he didn't even copyright it. So he's got this quartz movement there. They're accurate to in seconds or like 100 years kind of thing, a quartz movement. This Japanese guy was going by, and he's taking a look at it. Asked some questions, took some pictures, got some information. Seiko. Swiss guy said no world would never want it. Within 5 years, Seiko has 60% of the watch market. Because the Swiss guy had a mindset. He was conformed to the fact that nobody in the world would ever want a movement, a watch that didn't have any movement. So he didn't even copyright the quartz movement. I always thought it was designed by a Japanese guy. It wasn't. It was designed by a Swiss. But the Japanese guy took it because there's no copyright, and he ran with it because he had a paradigm shift. People will go from here to here. We need to have a paradigm shift. I'm not who I am. I am who he says I am. Right? The biggest, you know, not the biggest, but one of the problems that when the children of Israel were coming out, they got there, sent 12 spies. You all know the story. It's 12 spies. They go there. 10 spies says, we are like giants, or we are like grasshoppers in their eyes. How do you know that? The Bible also says that they were like grasshoppers in their own eyes. They had the mindset. We heard them talking about us. They think we're small. Two people said, let's go. Joshua and Caleb, let's go. They knew who they were. God had promised us the land. Let's move into it. Don't be like the 10 spies. Amen? We got to be like the 2 spies that they had to wait for a generation and before they moved in. So I was going to end with a couple of things here. It won't be that long of an ending. Even though, you know, Paul said halfway through Philippians, finally, my brethren. But I won't be like that. So we can make sure that we renew our mind. So renewing the mind does not simply mean taking in new facts. It means to examine yourself and see the beliefs, the concepts, and the attitudes that really control the way you are, the way you live. Then we must meditate, confess, and exchange the old programming for what the Word says. Renewing our mind is not just reading more of the Bible. It's reading the Bible and then letting it challenge your belief that's already there. It says, the Bible says that the traditions of men stopped Jesus from healing, healing. It wasn't Jesus, it was the traditions of men. You know, it's when you get to the point that you realize that, you know what, I can go back to school at 50 years old and do something. Not, I was lousy in high school because I wasn't that good in high school because I didn't apply myself. But you know what? I've learned over 30 years, that you know what? I can go and do something and I can apply it. And you know, amazing thing was that my last year we were at school, we were sitting there, and I went to Pastor Murray's a couple of times for church because I was down that way, went to another church, and on had one of my roommates, he's like, aren't you going to study? No, I said I studied a little bit already, a little bit here, a little bit there. I remember what Pastor said. Pastor, when he was going to school, and I remember he challenged us, he has a lot of people, and he knows a lot of guys that have gone to school and ended up not serving God because they study so much, they don't go to church, they start studying so much for school, they don't go to church. I remember Pastor said, when he got his PhD, and he applies for a job, nobody asked, did you get a 90 or did you get 95? All they know is that you passed. And I was like, okay, Lauren, I'll leave this in your hands. Not the fact that I didn't do anything, but I studied. But you know what? Church came. Okay, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. Put him first. And I still walked out with over 80% in my marks, you know. And it was like, for a guy, even my first year, same thing. Went to church. It's like, I'll leave it in your hands. I'll put it in there, and I'll believe what the Word says, that my mind has a good attitude towards school, that I don't have an attitude towards my teacher. I don't get, because I can get a little bit, you know, lippy sometimes, smart, you know, especially when you sit there and you show up and you're like the oldest guy in class, and I'm like, okay, at least this time nobody asked me if I was the teacher, you know, because I think everybody knew, I guess, but like I said, we only one year we were in class, and this guy walks up to me, he starts asking me questions. I'm like, he's a maintenance guy. I'm like, you're looking for him. The guy's like 3 years older than my kid. I said, yeah, he's the teacher. He goes, well, who are you? I said, I'm a student. Oh, but it's okay, you know. But because you know what? 20 years ago, if I knew I was 50 going back to school, I never would have done it. But I have more confidence now, even in the natural, because I try to apply what the Word says to my life. Amen? So you got to have more confidence, no matter who you are, no matter who you are, no matter what you've gone through. Don't be as scared of the past, but remember, you are not the past. Amen? You are what the Word says you are. You have a future and a destiny. God does not look at you and say, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Yeah, that gives away age. I was supposed to. I don't sing, and that's why you know. But anyway, he doesn't look at say who you are. He tells you who you are. He doesn't say who are you. He says you are, right? He says you are. You know, that's why it's not the fact that it was with Adam. It wasn't where are you, Adam? Because God didn't know where he was. It was like, now Adam, you need to locate yourself because you've gotten lost. You need to find out where you are, and unfortunately, at this point, you can't get back in there. Because the Redeemer hasn't come yet. Now we can get back in there because the Redeemer has come. Amen? You know? So I've got a couple of things that we can work on. Not that we can work on, but to apply, right? You got always, you know, Pastor loves to have his points. And to apply and how we can renew our mind. Okay? Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We need to frame our world with the Word of God. I know I've shared that many times. We need to realize that the Word of God is who we are. When God made the world, he spoke. When you frame your world, you need to speak the words, amen? You need to realize that you are the victorious in him. You are, you know, loving. You are a good son. You are a loving father. You know, if I wake up, not that I have, but if I wake up in the morning, mad, I love you, honey. I love you, honey. Some people, you know, there's no feeling to it. But you know what? It can be a confession. And I've heard that from a fellow who wasn't sure how he'd love his wife. And so he started confessing. Every time he saw her, I love you, baby. I love you, baby. It wasn't me. I love my wife very much. I've never had a problem with that. But he said it changed his life, and it changed who he was, that he started to fall back in love with his wife. So you find out, if you think you're lacking somewhere, find out what the Word says, what the Bible says, and speak it over yourself. Amen? When I was believing for a wife, I started acting like I already had one. I started trying to be the nice person that I knew I could be. I started being, you know, I started acting like one. You know, you got to do things. When you feel like you don't know if you're a good parent, act like a good parent. Find out what the Word says about how to be a good parent. And then speak it out. We are, you know, we are those people that say things and people look at you kind of funny. You know, we are the righteousness of God. We are prosperous. We have a good job. Thank you. My needs are met. I'm out of debt with plenty more to put in store. I am one of those guys, okay? You know, I came up, I thought my wife was going through something. So I went to the bathroom the other day, and in there in magic, not magic marker, but pencil crayon or eyeliner or something, is consider not. So I'm thinking, okay, she's looking at something. She goes in, she's like, consider not. So she's bleeding for something. I think it's awesome. Sometimes, you know, you get people that put the sticky notes in their car and stuff like that. So frame your world with your word. The other thing is, watch who you hang around. I've shared this many times. People can be jealous of your accomplishments, so they will end up dragging you back. When you try and go somewhere and you get people that are jealous of where you're going, they will try and pull you back. How many times have people tried to quit smoking? You're trying to quit smoking, you're at work, and people say, oh, come on, just have one with me. Come, have one with me. Have one with you. Or try to quit drinking. Come on, just one more, yeah? Like, you know, I was the same way. Do you want to have one? Not understanding it. I'd have a smoke guy at work trying to quit smoking. Come on, just out and have one. Not realizing that, you know what, I would have been dragging him back down. You got to be careful who you hang around. Amen? Hang around people that are where you want to go. That's why I love hanging around Pastor. He has got a teaching anointing on him, and I want to go where he's going. Amen? So be careful who you hang around. You got to be so careful. Me and my wife are so careful who we hang around when it comes to certain things. Also, when you're loving yourself in a good way, you will not be moved by other people's opinions. I know who I am. I know who I am. I have no problem loving myself. You know, in a good way, realizing who I am. I don't get concerned anymore about not having a dad. I don't get concerned anymore. I don't get concerned. I've had people ask me, are you a good husband? I said, I think so. 21 years, she's still here. Right? There's no issue. The first year was kind of like I said, it was kind of, you know, but she's still here. We have a great marriage. We still go on dates. That's why I tell people when you get married, keep on dating, man. We try and go on dates at least once a week. Take the dog for a walk. Like, don't go to a movie for a date. So I tell my boy, right, because he's like kind of still single, like, don't go for a movie for a date. Because when you talk throughout the movie, you'll get in trouble. If you're trying to find out who somebody is, you want to talk to them, find out who they are, which you can't do at the movie. I said to him, go for a walk, go around Boulevard Lake. It's cheap, get a couple coffees, go for a drive, sit out, look over something. Find out who somebody is. And if you're single, find out who somebody is before you get to the point where it's too late to find out who somebody is. Amen? Find out who somebody is. When I was dating somebody, you know where I met her? At church. I didn't meet her in a bar. I didn't meet her at a club. I met her at church, which is good for me because that was very important in my life. But I'm still on point A. I thought I went to point B. But you won't be moved by other people's opinions. Like I said, I'm very happy with who I am. I'm not moved by other people's opinions. Some of you people know, If you've been in Bible school and I've taught some healing classes, you know I'm very adamant when it comes to healing. I don't care if I got, you know, stuff running out of my nose and I'm coughing, whatever. I'm like, thank you, Lord, I am healed. People at work look at you and say, you're crazy. I'm like, but I'm healed. You know, I know who I am. I'm very confident in who I am. I'm very confident in where I'm going. Sometimes I wish I'd get there faster, but I know the only person hindering that is me. Because I know I'm not perfect. So be confident in who you are. Because when you love yourself, nobody else's opinions won't matter. I get guys at work, they don't like me. I don't care. Not that I don't care in a bad sense, but it's like, your opinion of me doesn't matter. His opinion matters to me. Right? I try and be nice. I try and be loving people. I think it's very important when, you know, my family likes me and my wife likes me, stuff like that. But, you know, we get mad at each other. We're not a perfect marriage. She gets mad at me. And I get same thing to her. But I know that I might be mad at her, but that doesn't change who she is in him. Right? She's still his daughter. I'm still his son. Right? So, you know, we could have a bad day. We're mad at each other, but we're still confident in who we are in him, which helps us to become who we are with each other because the word says to do certain things, right? Don't let your anger go down in the sun and stuff like that. So, remember, watch who you hang around with. Have a good opinion of yourself according to what the word says. David was a giant killer. You know, it was amazing. Because he killed a giant, there was, I think, 5 or 6 other people that killed giants. He was not the only one. He was just the first one. So you might come across something, and you'll kill a giant, and there are people that will follow you, you know. And I've heard stories where David took 5 stones, and you hear all sorts of stuff. You get into all sorts of different things. But if you actually read the Bible, you find out that Goliath actually had brothers and brothers. So I think he was there. Could I take this one down? Another one comes. I'm ready. Amazing thing was, it wasn't even his fight. He didn't go looking for the fight. He went to charm the captain because his dad said, give this food. It was a bribe. Give the food to the captain and see who your brothers are. He gets there and he hears something. Sometimes we're like that. We're going somewhere and we might not be expecting anything spectacular. All of a sudden we hear something. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I might have to rise up and fight today because I'm a covenant child. Amen. He knew his covenant. So remember, you're not who you were. You are who God's called you to be. Amen? If you want to stand up for a second. Frame the world with your word. If you're not sure about something, finding something in the Bible that will speak to your situation. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord. Just can you just praise God just for a few seconds here? Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, if you're here and you think you have a low self-esteem or a bad opinion about yourself, I just want you to know that God says that you are his. If you were the only one, Jesus would have died for you. If you were the only one on the earth, he would have died for you. You know, you realize that he's done all this for you, that you already are seated at the right hand of God. You know, if you just need an agreement and you need somebody just to pray with you for a second, you can come up to the front. And me and Pastor Ken, we'll pray for you. If it's everything's all good and you just, you know, realize that you don't need a refreshing from God, but you can just continue to pray and just let him love on you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this night. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can go forth from here, Lord, knowing that we are who you say we are, knowing that we are healed, we are delivered, we are set free, we are kings and priests. That we get to rule and reign and have dominion in our own lives. That we get to celebrate victory with you. That we get to realize that, you know, you are our shepherd and we shall lack no good thing. That we get to sit down in a table amidst our enemies. So that, you know, David wrote that psalm that he was sitting, you prepared a banquet amidst the enemies. You know, it's amazing that it doesn't matter if, you know, sickness knocks at my door. I can sit and partake of your healing. I can sit and partake of your peace. If there's situations going on around me, circumstances, I'm not affected by that. I'm affected by the table that you set before me, the table of provision that you have for me, the table of healing that you have for me, the table of righteousness, the meal of that our cup runneth over with peace and joy, that we can go to a place, Lord, in you, realizing that it doesn't matter that the world around us could be spinning out of control, but you are stable and you are our God. And we just thank you for that. We thank you that we can bring you honor. We can bring you glory in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good night, everyone. Remember, don't tell Miss Kathy that you saw my tooth or did not see my tooth, I guess it would be.